Morning. Early this morning, three Massachusetts state troopers were arrested on charges of theft of government funds for fraudulently obtaining overtime pay for traffic enforcement shifts on the Massachusetts Turnpike that they actually did not work. Troopers Gary Herman, Paul Season, and Lieutenant David Wilson were arrested this morning without incident and will appear in federal court here in Boston later today. Two of these men recently resigned from the state police, while one is on administrative leave, all in the wake of an ongoing audit at the state police about abusive overtime practices. All three had been assigned to Troop E, which is headquartered in South Boston but has primary responsibility for enforcement along the Massachusetts Turnpike. Troopers in Troop E could earn overtime pay by working shifts in special enforcement initiatives. There were two of those, the first being the Accident and Injury Reduction Effort Program, referred to as the AIRE Program, A-I-R-E, and the second being the X-Team Initiative. The goals of both programs were to reduce accidents on the pike by increasing the presence of state troopers on the highway and increasing speeding enforcement. To earn AIRE and X-Team overtime pay, troopers were required to work the entirety of a 4 or 8 hour shift, depending which program it was. During those shifts, troopers would conduct traffic enforcement, including issuing speeding citations, of course. Troopers are, of course, required to truthfully report information on the citations that they write, accurately reporting time and date of shift work, the sector of deployment, and traffic citations issued. They also must complete traffic citations, including the identity of the motorist and the vehicle, date, time, and place of the traffic infraction. During a state police internal audit of Troop E in 2017, police radio data was collected for the cruisers of troopers who were suspected of abusing the overtime system. That data included information about whether a particular trooper's cruiser was on or off at a given time. That information could then be cross-referenced with other records, including refueling records for cruisers, trooper inquiries to the onboard CJIS system, from which troopers and their cruisers get information about motorists, and internal state police records of traffic citations issued on a given date and time. As to internal records at the state police for traffic citations, that information could then be cross-referenced with records from the independent RMV database, which would show which citations had actually been issued to a motorist, as opposed to just residing within the state police database. All of this led investigators to a subset of state troopers who were paid for overtime shifts they did not work, a fraud that included forging or altering traffic citations to create the appearance that a trooper had in fact worked and issued citations for a given shift. More specifically, today's complaint alleges that on a regular basis, three members of the state police did not work some or all of numerous AIRE and X-Team shifts for which they were paid. Trooper Gary Sherman allegedly concealed this kind of fraud by submitting to the state police internal database traffic citations he had written for earlier shifts, but with now altered date and times so he could reuse them for later shifts. He also submitted traffic citations that were simply fabricated. They had never been issued to an actual motorist while he was working. Trooper Herman earned $227,826 in 2016, which included about $63,000 in overtime. Of that, it appears that he fraudulently obtained about $12,500, essentially embezzling taxpayer funds through this scheme. And again, that was a single year. Like Trooper Herman, it appears that Trooper Paul Season altered citations to create the appearance that he had issued them during certain overtime shifts when, in fact, he had not done that. He also submitted citations that were never actually issued to motorists. Trooper Season earned about $163,000 in 2016, which included about $50,000 in overtime pay. Of that, it appears that in 2016 alone, he defrauded the state police and taxpayers of about $29,000. Finally, according to today's allegations, Lieutenant David Wilson, who was an officer in charge of overtime shifts at Troop E, including signing off on overtime shifts worked, also did not work some or all of his shifts, for which he was nonetheless paid. Like the others, Wilson submitted a mix of altered and fake traffic citations, sometimes called ghost tickets. He earned about $230,000 in 2016, which included about $68,000 in overtime pay. Of that, it appears that he defrauded the state police and taxpayers of about $12,500 in that year alone. Let me be clear that today's charges are the beginning and not the end of this federal investigation. There will be ongoing federal enforcement in this area aimed at determining whether this is a systemic problem within the state police, and if it is, taking steps to fix it. We do not relish this kind of enforcement. I'm committed to supporting state and local law enforcement. The troopers and detectives in the Massachusetts State Police enjoy a well-deserved reputation for professionalism. But it's our job to investigate and prosecute public corruption, especially when it implicates taxpayer dollars, and especially when it compromises the integrity of a major state-level law enforcement agency. With that, before I take questions, I'd like to turn things over to FBI Special Agent in Charge Hank Shaw. His agents, working with veteran prosecutors in my office, did an outstanding job on this investigation, and they continue to do so. Thank you.
Good morning. Thanks, Andy. Shortly after sunrise this morning, special agents from the FBI and the United States Department of Transportation, Office of the Inspector General, arrested three Massachusetts State Police troopers who abused the public's trust for their own personal gain. All of them were safely taken into custody without incident at their homes in Charlton, Chester, and Southwark. Each and every one of these troopers took an oath to protect and serve. Instead, we believe they misuse their positions solely for their own financial benefit. Equally disturbing are the steps they took to conceal and cover up their alleged criminal behavior. Our investigation found they allegedly stole tens of thousands of dollars from you, the taxpayers, using a variety of methods to inflate their overtime pay, such as submitting old citations and even bogus ones. This is an intensive investigation, which will continue until we're confident we've identified everyone involved in scamming the system and jeopardizing the public safety. And make no mistake, this case does impact on public safety. It's not just about the work these troopers didn't do and the speeding tickets they did not write. It's about the countless number of motorists who were allowed to operate on the Mass Pike without a license or even a suspended one. The amount of aggressive drivers, criminal activity, or even fugitives who were able to possibly sneak through our state, and the false sense of security the public had in thinking their highways were patrolled and safe. These troopers selfishly tarnished the reputation and badge worn proudly by so many other hardworking members of the Massachusetts State Police, who put their lives on the line for all of us each and every day. Instead of serving the public and upholding the rule of law, we believe these troopers broke the law for their own personal gain. There is no excuse for this type of behavior. Massachusetts taxpayers deserve honesty from those who serve them, and those who defraud the government should be held accountable. Public corruption investigations will continue to be a priority for my office. It doesn't just strike at the heart of good government, it diminishes the trust within our communities. The vast majority of law enforcement officers are honest and committed to serving their fellow citizens. Unfortunately, as we allege in this case, some are not. My sincerest appreciation for the tremendous work done by U.S. Attorney Lelling and his team, as well as SAC Doug Shoemaker and his agents at the Department of Transportation Office of Inspector General. I'd also be remiss not to thank Massachusetts State Police Colonel Kerry Gilpin for her dedication, support, and commitment to rooting out corruption and her ongoing efforts to restore the public's confidence in the Massachusetts State Police. Thank you.
Questions?
Why it seems the, like this why? Goes so much deeper and that this was part of the culture at True B. How far back will this investigation go? How many years back? And just as someone who serves the public, how disheartening is this for you?
Well, that's your first question. We plan on looking back as far as we can in number of years. There is a records retention law, and so it could be that many of the records that we would seek to use don't exist going back more than about 2 years. but we will go back as far as we can. As to it being embedded in the culture, I think that remains to be seen. We're going to wait and see in our investigation whether that is so. It could be a systemic problem in the state police. I think it is slightly premature to say that with confidence. We'll have to see where it goes.
Why should the public have faith in the state police?
Well, state police is a big institution. There are many, many troopers. I don't know how many offhand. I think it would be a mistake to tar all troopers with this kind of conduct. And also, I can tell you, as a line prosecutor in this state for many years, I've been impressed again and again with the professionalism and work ethic of the state police, troopers, and detectives that I have worked with. And so, frankly, I hope that we do not find that this is a systemic and truly widespread problem. But at this point, it is what it is.
So you're saying that the public should have confidence in the state police?
Yes, I think the public should have confidence in the state police, troopers, and detectives that they may encounter in the day.
How disheartening is this for you?
It's not disheartening for me personally, meaning I think it's unfortunate. I think this is why you have federal enforcement. I think with a statewide law enforcement agency as prominent and as influential as the Massachusetts State Police is, I think you need the feds to look into this kind of thing so you have a truly independent and thorough investigation and that the public has confidence that is happening.
Why did you feel like you needed to arrest them at their homes very early this morning? Why not, for instance, have them turn themselves in or what have you? Why did you choose that?
Well, because these are crimes, I can tell you that a general policy of my office is that we arrest people. We don't like to pick and choose categorically who gets arrested and who does not, because it seems like favoritism to the public. As to arrests at their homes early, that is a standard operational approach across cases that we do in this office. I don't know if you want to add more to that.
It's a safest protocol, and once again, there is no separate set of expectations, or benefit given, to a police officer versus anyone else who would get arrested.
So you're talking about $54,000 embezzled here combined. How big of a slice of this overall scandal do you think that is? Is that just a small portion, or is that most of the money that was taken from taxpayers?
I think that's, at the end of the day, that's the same question as whether it's a systemic problem or not a systemic problem. We can't know at this stage how much money we're really talking about. The information in the complaints that we filed today relate to a single year, 2016 alone, and only three troopers. Do we find much more than that? At this point, I'm not going to comment on that. But again, I think that question really is this systemic and so a lot of money, or do we find that it's not systemic, or it's only confined to Troop B, and so not a lot of money? I'm not going to opine on that publicly.
From what you know so far, would you say that this all could have been prevented if there was better oversight in state police and in this particular troop of all this overtime? It's a lot of money in taxpayer dollars that they get for these overtime shifts.
I'll say generally, I think it is an oversight compliance question that many police organizations or other organizations that have an overtime shift system have to deal with. Some do it better than others. I'm not an expert on the current internal procedures at the state police. I do think the state police is now committed to fixing this problem. As Special Agent in Charge Shaw mentioned, the colonel of the state police has been cooperative with our efforts, and we hope that continues.
You mentioned ghost tickets. You mentioned ghost tickets. Are there any motorists out there that you believe were harmed with citations that they don't deserve or anything like that because of this alleged fraud?
No, what appears to have happened is what the state police employees here involved in this complaint seem to have done is changed the dates on old tickets or fabricated tickets in there entirely and submitted them to the state police. But because the citation was not actually issued to a motorist, that citation can't then go to the RMV because it would eventually become known that the citation was written by the officer, but the officer had, in fact, never stopped the motorist. So it does not seem that any motorist got a ticket they weren't supposed to get. It's that the state police record-keeping system reflects that tickets were written when, in fact, they were not. as a way of covering up the fact that the trooper had not worked that shift.
Any repercussions for running random people in the CGIS system, or is that more at the state level?
No, I don't think there's any repercussions for a given motorist for having their information run in the CGIS system.
Are you considering RICO in the cases of the state police?
I'm not going to comment on legal theories that we're batting around internally in this case.
Can you say how far back you'll go and how broad it will be? I know this is troopy, but will you look at all troops? Will you look how far back in years, do you think?
We'll go back as far in years as we can. As I mentioned before, there is a record retention law. It appears that most records of relevant to this investigation need not be kept more than 2 years back. So we may be limited by that. We will not limit our investigation just to Troop E. We consider our purview to be state police-wide, all troops.
Do these shifts have to do at all? It doesn't look like it, perhaps I'm wrong, with the detail work, either for MassDOT or for private parties?
No. This was traffic enforcement work. Both of these programs, the AIR program and the X-Team program, were aimed at increasing state police presence on the Mass Pike in order to increase safety on the Mass Pike roads.
Did your office review any of the records of private details or details for public agencies as part of this?
I'm not going to comment on that.
You mentioned this is just the beginning. Does that mean you're going to take a closer look at 2016 when you say that, meaning you're going to be looking at other troopers potentially?
Both those things.
Was any of this on the radar or at all brought to your attention prior to this investigation? Had you heard any inklings of the possibility of overtime fraud with Troop E?
I don't think I understand the question. Before
this investigation, this large investigation, had it ever been brought to your attention or was it on the radar that this could be a possibility that this was going on?
I think we've been aware that it was a possibility for approximately a year. Maybe a little more. Before that, I'm not aware of my office having done sort of concerted enforcement activity on this particular subject before then, but I can't tell you for sure.
There wasn't any type of whistleblower that had come forward prior to this investigation?
No, there was not a whistleblower. I mean, I think some people are aware there was a Channel 5 story on a Trooper Chin a while back who was forced to take responsibility for altering a ticket and said publicly that other troopers were involved in that activity. And that was a factor in us pursuing.
Now, this administration has sort of disbanded, so to speak. Do you think that's a positive step? Is that enough for what you're seeing, what you've investigated?
I think that's a question for the state police. I think it's a positive sign. Again, we've been happy with what we've heard from Colonel Gilpin over at the state police, and she's been supportive of efforts to implement reforms in the state police in this area. I don't have a specific opinion on whether disbanding Troop E is a good thing or not.
Is your investigation going? I mean, there have been other issues, obviously, with the state police, including some of the stories about a report being altered that led to a lawsuit. Is your probe going to look beyond overtime into other issues involving state police, or is it focused narrowly on overtime?
Right now, the investigation is focused on overtime. It is not unusual in the course of an investigation to find leads that cause us to open another investigation. So I won't say that won't happen here, but our investigation now, based on what we've seen, is focused on the overtime issue.
Is it possible that these three troopers have used overtime in prior years, or have you guys determined that their fraud was limited to 2016?
I don't think we know the answer to that. Proving these kinds of crimes is in some ways a record-keeping exercise. You're taking records in four or five different categories, you're cross-referencing them, and seeing what you come up with. The reason why I say that is that it's extremely labor-intensive, and so for purposes of today's charges, we focused on the year 2016. We have records beyond 2016, and you know, if they show us information allowing us to prove charges, we'll move forward with those.
Would you say there are any...
What do you hope the message is with these three arrests?
Well, I think the message is twofold, and I said this in my prepared remarks, and so did Hank, which is that, on the one hand, we have to investigate corruption cases that implicate taxpayer dollars and which implicate the integrity of a law enforcement agency. On the other hand, we have tremendous respect for the state police. I think, like all state and local law enforcement agencies. They do a hard job every day, and the state police does it well. So I would not want this to tar state police in its entirety with one brush, but allegations like this, where you could have widespread systemic corruption, in some ways petty corruption, it's not showing up for a shift and lying about having worked it, I think you need somebody to look at that, because that kind of rot tends to spread. And in a law enforcement agency, you need its members to be working at the highest level of integrity.
And also, are you surprised by what you've seen so far?
I don't understand the question.
Based on, you know, these are troopers who have the Mass State Police badge, and what you've looked at so far at the amount of overtime that's been embezzled, and as you continue to look into this investigation, are you surprised this was going on?
Well, I think I'd say I'm disappointed to see it going on. I've been in this business a long time. I've seen cases involving law enforcement agencies before. It's always frustrating to see them. It's frustrating for the other members of that law enforcement organization. It's frustrating being in law enforcement myself and seeing the hit to the law enforcement reputation that happens when you see these kinds of events. So I think I'll leave it at that.
More than 35 Troopy members have been flagged by the state police audit. Would you say that you're using that as a baseline for your investigation?
Not a baseline, but we're aware of the state police audit. We have used that audit to supplement our efforts. We do an independent check using our own resources on the results of the audit. The audit has been helpful in allowing us to move the investigation forward.
Would you say that... Where these troopers may have testified in court, that there's any reason to cast doubt on what they said given the alleged fraud here today?
Well, it's tough for me to comment on that. A few things. First, these are allegations in the complaint. These guys are innocent until they're proven guilty. If they were proven guilty of any of these charges, sure. It could lead courts to question their integrity and their veracity when they're on the stand, but I'll leave that to other law enforcement. I'll leave that to other prosecuting bodies, like the DA's offices and the courts that they're prosecuting.
Can you just say, with the AG's office also investigating, is this going to be independent, cooperative? Is there any working together on this, or are these separate?
We've had some communication with Maura Healey's office, but the federal investigation is an independent investigation. It's important to us that it be an independent investigation. I think in investigations like this, one of the things you have to think about is public confidence in the result. And so the feds being entirely separate from the state system, I think it's important to maintain that. So at the end of the day, you know, wherever the chips fall on this, and however many troopers or other members of the organization are or are not charged, we want the public to have confidence that it was an independent look by the feds and that law enforcement did what it was supposed to do in this situation.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.